Motorways are becoming smarter to help traffic flow smoother. When traffic conditions are good, the national speed limit will apply. But when traffic becomes heavy, the speed limit can be reduced.
So, if you see a lower speed limit, slow down and stay within it.
By following speed limits, we'll all be doing our bit to keep the traffic flowing. Highways England, making motorways smarter. For more information, search for Smart Motorways online.
Welcome to Let's Talk Tribes. Welcome to Let's Talk Tribes. This is your host, Jason Lukart, here for episode 6. We're at the All-Star break at the moment. So today, no baseball. Tomorrow, no baseball. It's a long couple days. But the good news is the Indians charged into the break on a 4-game winning streak, including a sweep of the Royals in the final weekend. Good. You know, they're coming off a tough series against the Tigers, losing 3-4 at home, starting to feel like maybe they're letting too much of a gap grow between them in first place. But now right back in the thick of it, only a game and a half back of Detroit, 3 games back of the Rangers, who right now are sitting on that second wild card spot. And, 51-44 record, pretty good. I certainly would have taken that before the season started, so I'm happy with it. And Friday, we'll get the second half started, and hopefully the minutes is familiar to you, probably most of all from Let's Go Tribe, where he's the editor, but also from episode 1 of Let's Talk Tribe. So my first repeat guest here to recap the first half with me and then talk about what we think might happen in the second half is Let's Go Tribe's editor and lead writer, Ryan Richards. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
I'm glad to be here.
So it's Wednesday night of the All-Star break. What are you doing to pass the days without baseball?
Whew. Well, I was getting desperate. I was going on YouTube and looking at some old baseball videos there. So, you know, and doing some other stuff, watching some TV I've been kind of putting off for a while. But, you know, but still, 4 games, 4 days without baseball in the middle of the season, it's tough.
Yeah,
but
when
kind
they
of,
added
I'm kind of waiting.
When they added Thursday as another day off, which was a concession to the players, I can't blame the players at all for wanting another day off, especially the guys who were in the All-Star game and don't really get much of a break. But yeah, it's hard to have that 2 days in a row without anything going on. So I'll be glad to get back to the action Friday night.
Yeah, definitely. So, but you know, it's probably good. It probably gives you kind of a nice breather at least.
Yeah, we should probably all have plenty to do in our lives without baseball, I suppose.
Really?
Give me your you know, overall take on the Indians' first half. How do you feel about it?
Well, I guess when I kind of first start thinking of it, usually what I do is I go to baseballreference.com and pull up the Indians page, the stats page. And if you go, I always go immediately to the OPS plus column for the position players and the ERA plus for the pitchers. I know it's not the end all be all, but it's a kind of a nice little shorthand way of looking at it.
Good things to look at.
Yeah, and the thing that I was so surprised is what I didn't see, which is like some awful numbers from especially the position players. I went through the first 13, you know, the highest 13 with the most 13 players with the most plate appearances, and that's virtually those 13 players have virtually all the at-bats or plate appearances this season.
Right.
And the lowest OPS plus total is 90. And that's by Mike Avilas.
Yeah, that's
what I that's just shocking to me how good the offense has been. Not necessarily because they're on the top end and some players have done that, but on the low end, just nobody's been a hole in the lineup.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. When you look at any team, you know, if you have everyone at least at league average, and then you've got, you know, just two or three guys above that, it's going to be a really good offense. And And you're right. I mean, that's what the Indians have done. And, you know, Avila is to be, you said, at 90, so 10% below league average for your utility infielder. I'm sure if you compared him to just other utility infielders, that's better than most.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I hadn't thought about what you said, that the top 13 guys, the pitching has had to be patched together a bit more. But you're right. The lineup has really just been those core guys with no one else playing in more than, I think, two or three games.
Yeah, and, you know, after Yan Gomes, who's number 13, you have Cort Phelps, who hardly anyone probably would remember right now.
then,
you know, John McDonald. And so a lot of times it's not how good your lineup is, but how many holes are in your lineup. And especially with, you know, because if you have one awful player that you have to play every day, that's going to cost you. And thus far, right, even with injuries, and that's the key, is even with injuries, they've had someone on the bench that has, you know, has been able to fill a hole and not, you know,
yeah,
be that hole in the lineup.
Yeah. Much, much better depth than any Indians team in recent years. And a manager who I, you know, to the extent that I can tell the difference between managers, Francona is someone I feel like can take advantage of having a quality bench, you know, playing the matchups well. There's been some discussion of, you know, should Ryan Rayburn be playing more, or do his numbers look as good as they do because he's playing at the right time? And, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, he could maybe be playing a little more, but his numbers are probably going to fall off either way. But in any case, he's starting, you know, two, sometimes three games a week. And if you ignore the plate appearances and just look at pure OPS plus, I think he leads the team, or he's maybe Kipnis, but the two of them are the guys on.
Yeah, he's just ahead of Kipnis, which, you know, it's pretty amazing in its own right, Brian. You wouldn't think they'd get that prime production from him.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of Kipnis, he's a good jumping off point for the next question I had, which is, what have you been most impressed or most pleasantly surprised by this season?
Well, yeah. Well, obviously Kipnis is breakout. I mean, he's had stretches before where he's kind of showed the ability to be kind of an all-around star. People, I guess, throw that word around, but sometimes they don't really accurately depict what it is. But if you look at what Kipnis does, he doesn't really have too many weaknesses, and he does a lot of things really well. And when you have a baseball player that can do a lot of different things really well, I mean, that's the key. And he's done it now going on, what, 2.5 months. So I don't think this is a fluke anymore.
No, I don't either. Go ahead.
Finish your thought.
I was just going to say, I was just thinking back to sometime in March, a couple weeks before the season started, I wrote an article kind of looking at what a contract extension for Kipnis might look like based on what other guys, you know, similar age, infielders, that kind of things had gotten, and figured it would take, you could do something like 6 years, $30 million, because he's still got, I think, you know, one last league minimum year, some arbitration. So I think I landed on 6 years, $30 million as what the market had sort of established, and was saying, I thought it would be great if they signed him to that deal. Of course they didn't. And I don't know if that was ever really a possibility, but there's a 0% chance he's signing any sort of deal like that with the season he's having.
Yeah. And that's the risk you take, is the risk that you take. I mean, I guess you don't want to talk about it like it's a bad thing, because it's not a bad thing that Kipnis is having a great year, but you know, it is going to cost the Indians a little bit more to, if they want to lock him up. So, but that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy for the Indians to have that problem as many times as possible. I mean, he's been unbelievable. You know, the best hitting second baseman in the American League, and arguably the best overall second baseman. I think he's turned himself into at least a fair fielder. He's a good base runner. I think he's got 21 steals, and he's only been caught 4 or 5 times. You know, he doesn't have the track record of Cano or Pedroia, so I wouldn't put him on their level just yet. But if you're just looking at this season, I think he's been as good as anyone at the position, which is, Yeah, I mean, I thought he would be good, but he's surprised me just because when you expect good, he's gone so far past that.
Yeah, I mean, if you pull out a season of Kipnis and compare it to kind of Chase Utley's kind of early career, it looked really similar.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Not quite the same fielder that Utley. I mean, Utley's a fantastic
No.
fielder.
Yeah. But everything else. Yeah.
Good comparison. Is there anyone on a lower level that maybe instead of making a jump from good to great, you just weren't expecting much at all from, who's surprised? I guess maybe that could be someone like Rayburn, but anyone else who.
Well, I guess ahead of the pitching staff. I guess the pitching staff, Corey Kluber. I mean, if you look at his overall numbers, they. I mean, actually, he's been pitching better of late, but it wasn't until recently that his overall numbers were getting back, you know, to the point where people were taking notice. But if you just look at his peripherals, they've been amazing. I mean, 9 strikeouts and only 2 walks, that's something Trevor Bauer can only dream of. and, you know, he's been kind of under the radar, even for Indians, people follow the Indians closely. So he's been a huge part of this successful first half.
Yeah, I agree. I know some people were higher on him before the season. He was someone I expected to get some starts this year, but certainly not someone I thought was gonna, you know, he's probably been maybe their best starter over the last month and a half or so.
And the good outings he's had has been, like, great outings. In other words,
right.
8 shutout innings in Texas. He had 2 8 shutout performances in a row, 8 shutout inning performances in a row. And, you know, he's dominating.
Right. Yeah, I think the rotation has been a pleasant surprise. It was so awful last year, and historically bad. And so just to have an okay rotation has been nice. I mean, Masterson's pitched pretty well. I don't think he's a fantastic pitcher. I think he's a good pitcher. He certainly doesn't have, I don't think, the talent of, you know, of being the number one on a good team, although that's obviously the role he's in for the Indians. But, I mean, he's given the Indians a ton of innings and has pitched pretty well. 3 shutouts, which I think is the most in the American League anyway. McAllister pitching really well again before he got hurt, and hopefully we're only a couple of weeks away from getting him back. Kluber, you already mentioned. Ubaldo's gone from horrendous to not very good, but sometimes if you just look at 5 innings, a lot of his starts look pretty good. Kazmir's been pretty similar to Jimenez, and given that he hadn't pitched effectively in the majors for like 4 years, I think that's more than we really had any right to expect coming into the season.
I think the whole kind of the moral of the thing is, like, there's been no complete disasters. And I guess that's half the battle. I guess you could probably pick out a couple relievers, and obviously the Carrasco and has been awful in his starts, but
right.
He hasn't really been around much to cause much damage.
Right. Yeah. For me, the bullpen has been a disappointment. Pestano, someone who was so good the last couple of years, who's really struggled this year, and you have to wonder, what all maybe. But frustrating one, but it's also one that I think can potentially turn itself around or be fixed without any major moves. I'd rather have the bullpen looking shaky going into the second half than the lineup or the starting rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's much easier to fix that on the fly than the other portions of the team.
Danny Salazar's debut, how, scale of 1 to 10, where would you rank your excitement that afternoon?
I guess at times it went up to 11, you kind of dream of kind of what a prospect can do, and he has the talent. But ultimately, you're disappointed a lot of the times because you have this picture in your mind that the player can never live up to. But, and when
right.
he kind of pretty much lives up to expectation, I mean, everyone's, you know, greatest expectations and look that good. And that with that kind of composure against a very good lineup, I mean, because if he would, if, you know, if he would have missed, I mean, those, they had some, they had players throughout that lineup that will jump on mistakes and he didn't make any.
Yeah. So let's say McAllister comes back in, you know, say 2 weeks. And obviously we don't know what happens in those 2 weeks with any of the other starting pitchers, but just looking at the names we've got right now, we've got Masterson, Jimenez, Kluber, Kazmir, McAllister, and let's say Salazar. I guess if you want to throw Trevor Bauer or anyone else into the mix, you're welcome to. Which five guys, if you had to pick five and stick with them, which five would you run out for the second half rotation?
Well, and then, unfortunately, here's the rub, because of the five, of the, those six guys that you kind of, you said, there's at least two or three of them that you really don't know for sure whether they can last the rest of the season, whether due to innings limits, as far as in Salazar says, because I don't think there's any way the Indians can pitch Salazar in the rotation the rest of the year, which is unfortunate because they could certainly use him. Kazmir, obviously, who knows how much you'll get from him beyond, just beyond from an inning standpoint, and that assumes that he can stay healthy. You know,
sure.
And then you have, you know, Kluber hasn't pitched a full season in the majors. McAllister hasn't either. So I think if the Indians don't add somebody, they'll have to be doing kind of the mix and match thing the rest of the year. I think those six the six players would probably be the main guys, but I don't think
right.
it'll be a constant.
So you mentioned if they don't go out and get anyone, Matt Garza has been mentioned, although most recently it seems like the Indians are the teams that's in on him most seriously. I think Cliff Lee's out there is the biggest name, but his price tag, both
yeah.
in terms of what it might
that's
take
a
to get him, probably out of the Indians' means. Do you think, if you had to guess, do you think the Indians will add a starting pitcher through a trade between now and the deadline?
I would think that's their main priority, because, like, I mean, kind of like I mentioned, the five or six or even seven or eight, you know, pitchers on the depth chart, you know, five or six of them have major issues as far as lasting the rest of the season, because in that uncertainty, you don't want to hear September and all of a sudden you're down to have to throw in Carlos Carrasco in important games. So yeah, I think they'll
that.
No, I don't either. So I think that's going to be their main goal, although I'm sure they will try to get at least one reliever in the trade market
yeah.
as well, but I think the starters will be their main goal.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I think I can't fathom Cliff Lee. I'm not even really entertaining that notion. And Garza seemed plausible, but like I said, the latest rumors seem to have, I think it's Toronto and Texas is sort of the front runners. And I guess Toronto really wants to go all in. But the Indians seem less likely to get him. The other options don't excite me very much. I there's not anyone out there. I agree. I don't have a, you know, the rotation could use another solid arm, but there's certainly not anyone I'd love to see the Indians give up much to get. And it's, you know, without knowing the price tag on any of these guys, you know, who it might take to get them. It's hard to say too much, but, you know, 2 weeks ago, Danny Salazar was someone whose name was getting thrown out as someone who might be in a trade. And it's hard to watch someone pitch the way he did and think, oh yeah, send him off.
Yeah, but then you think, I mean, you certainly would not be trading the Salazar for 3 months of Matt Garza.
Right.
And I don't really have in mind too many starters that, you know, I'd be willing to do that for. I mean, never
right.
mind, you know, anyone. And anyone in, you know, Salazar's class, whether it be Bauer or Lindor.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't think they, if they do trade for somebody, it won't be someone, it'll be somewhat of a lesser class, like, you know, for instance, like a Bud Norris on Houston, who's he's an okay pitcher, but he's kind of what you want. You want someone who can give you some innings and, you know, kind of stable. It helps help give the rotation some depth in the second half of the season when they'll need it.
I don't know if you saw, because it just happened a couple hours ago, but today Major League Baseball held their competitive balance lottery. And for anyone listening who doesn't know, in the competitive balance lottery, I think it's the 10 smallest market teams and the 10 lowest revenue teams are thrown into a pool. And it doesn't actually amount to 20 teams because there's a ton of overlap. So I think there were 14 eligible teams this year, and then six of them get a pick, like a bonus pick in between rounds one and two, and six of them get a pick between rounds two and three, and then two of them are out of luck. And anyway, they had that lottery this afternoon, and the Indians ended up with like the 36th pick in the draft next year. And what's unique is those draft picks, unlike other trade. So it's sort of an interesting possibility of if the Indians decide they're buyers, they do now suddenly have a pretty interesting, you know, bargaining chip that they can at least comes to that. I'm torn on the buy versus sell. I want to see him go for it because, you know, what's better than your team contending? But yeah, there is, guys don't come cheap this kind of time of year either.
No, I mean, and you know, to go back to the draft pick, in this year or this coming winter, assuming that the Indians don't completely fall apart, that pick would probably be kept by them because that their first round pick, wherever it lands, would be, you know, if they would actually go on and try to sign another Nick Swisher or Michael Bourne, their first round pick would be the one that they would give up. And then after that would be this kind of bonus pick, I guess.
I was just going to add that was the bonus pick from last year that they had to give up when they signed Michael Bourne this year.
Yeah, it was like their second pick, and their bonus pick last year was after the second round. So, but this year it would be it's after the first round. But they could use that bonus pick. It's a nice pick. Kind of it should be in the top 40, and that should have some value.
Yeah, I think the slot value for whatever team had the equivalent pick this year was like $1.5 million. So I mean, it's a legitimate pick. You're not talking about some, you know, taking a flyer on someone.
This isn't like a second round pick in the NBA draft. This is, this is a player that, it's before the second round or in that range where usually, I think I saw somewhere that there's a large number of players between the first and second round drafted that became all-stars. And then after that, it dropped pretty dramatically. So even if you're in the second round, you could get a very good player. I mean, Kipnis was a second round pick.
Yep. Yeah. No matter what comes of it, it's nice that the Indians got it. The other trade speculation of late, and I know you wrote about this, but let's go sort of conversation. But there've been rumors that the Indians and Cardinals, and probably legitimate rumors, have been talking about is Drubal Cabrera. And that was something that came up, you know, last off season, and then Rafael Furcal came back. And so they thought they were set at shortstop and now they're not. So they're certainly seen as buyers and they have a wealth of pitchers could use more of in their system. But of course the flip side is the Indians are only a game and a half back and how could they, you know, give up an all-star shortstop? And you know, there's no sense of whether that's they're really talking about it or it's a contingency planning lest they fall out. I feel like in your article, you were sort of saying you don't think they should look to trade Cabrera. Is that right?
Yeah. I was trying to play both sides a little bit, but I was leaning towards the side of you probably don't want to rock the boat, even though mm-hmm. I recognize that it's a unique opportunity in that the Cardinals have one big hole, and it's at shortstop, and they just right. happen to have some, I hate to say this, but too many starters, too many starters. They put Rosenthal in the bullpen. They have a couple pitchers in AAA that could start eat pretty easily for a lot of other teams right now. Yep. So that, you just look at, the strengths and weaknesses of each team, and you kind of see how something could get done. But that doesn't mean the Indians probably should do it, because trading Cabrera means, there's a pretty big gap between Cabrera and Avilas, as well as we talked about Avilas. He's an excellent backup, but he doesn't have the offensive upside that Cabrera can do over the second half. It's very possible that Cabrera could end up carrying this team at some point in time. He has that ability. So to forego that, and obviously the message it sends, although you can try to be as rational as you want, trading one of your best players doesn't really send the signal that you're ready to go for it at the end of the season.
Right.
Even if rationally you can, it makes sense. I mean, obviously grabbing one of their young pitchers, one of their top prospects, you could fortify your rotation for the next 3 or 4 years. But, at the expense of now.
Yeah, I have a hard time picturing them making any that. Fans, a lot of fans would flip out, and you can say that a team shouldn't make decisions with the fans in mind, but ultimately the team's trying to make money, and your money comes from your fans. And if the fans, Cleveland's attendance isn't great as it is, if it were to get much worse. But also I think in the locker room, I think a lot of the other players would be really angry to see a deal like that.
I know sometimes there's kind of a tendency to say, well, it doesn't matter, but in some respects it does. I mean, you can't discount it, let's put it that way.
I think, they're literally a team, but in any job, you're sort of part of it. Cabrera has been there the entire time. I mean, he's the longest tenure on the team the whole time they have. And I think, it's deflating. I think of, my friends at work, and if grade schools could trade teachers away, how bad I would be if my principal traded, my closest friends at work away. So it's easy to say the players should understand because it's, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I can understand why they'd be mad. And I think that's really the big reason you can't really go out and make a deal like that if the team's in contention. Now, on the other hand, and let's hope it doesn't come to this, but if the Indians were to really lay an egg after the break and find themselves 6 or 7 games out the day of the deadline, I would be packing his Drubal's bags for him for one of those Cardinals pitchers.
Yeah, in that case, I would certainly hope that wouldn't be the case. But, we've seen it happen. So, yeah, if the Indians were kind of where the Royals are right now,
right.
8 games out or whatever, however, yep. That would be the natural fit because you figure, you can deal with, temporary weakness at shortstop and however long it takes for Lindor to get to the majors for the
yep.
opportunity of really fortifying a rotation that kind of after kind of the couple teams rated them in Rule 5, they don't really have a lot of starting depth beyond kind of the 2 or 3 guys in AAA right now.
Right.
So that next wave of arms, I guess, you don't really see that. And, you're with Kazmir and Jimenez probably gone after this year, you're going to – obviously you start thinking about next year and right. who you have in your rotation.
Yeah. Since you mentioned him, we shouldn't pass up the opportunity ever to talk for at least a minute about Francisco Lindor. He's last night was his debut in Akron,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
I think when you were on for episode one, maybe I guess 5 weeks ago, I think at that point there was a debate going on at Let's Go Tribe of should he spend the whole year in Carolina at high A or should he get sent up to Akron? And if I remember correctly, neither of us had a really strong opinion about it. Has that changed? Are you now really glad he's up or do you still feel like, whatever?
I guess it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference for his final development. Although I guess I am a bit of surprised that they promoted him that quickly because just by kind of reading the comments recently by, the minor league people that you would think that Lindor would have stayed in Carolina a bit longer, but maybe they had a change of heart. But it's, it's kind of a nice step because the double A level tends to separate out quite right. a bit the good prospects from the bad prospects. And I'm saying even if Lindor struggles in double A, he should not be, it shouldn't be a mark against him because he's only 19.
No, I mean, he's so young.
Absolutely not. Because most 19-year-olds are probably in Mahoning Valley or maybe Lake County right now. He's in double A, and he fully deserves to be in double A. But, it's going to be an interesting test because it tends to be a big jump from the
right.
from the high A ball to double A that, for both pitchers and hitters. So I'm interesting.
Right.
I'm definitely interested to see how he fares last half of this year.
Yeah, me too. I think my reaction to it is I'm happy because to me anyway, it signals that the team feels like he was ready. They're not going to rush him just to rush him. So
no.
To me, I feel like the team feels like he's made whatever adjustments he was going to make there. And it was time for some new challenges. He's now in the top five or six on almost every prospect list. And, depending on how his second half goes and which guys step up to the majors, I mean, it's totally conceivable that he'll be, the number one or two prospect on all of these lists next spring, which would be exciting. Have you moved up your timetable at all for when you think he might arrive in Cleveland?
I would still say, again, this is based on his Drupal Cabrera's contract. If they don't trade him, Cabrera is going to be the shortstop next year. And possibly at some time, Indians will deem him, say he's the primary backup if something happens to Cabrera, but I don't foresee him, Lindor, becoming the full-time guy until 2015, you would think. I guess defensively, he's ready for the major league level, but I don't know if you want to rush him. Kind of like, I think someone mentioned that Johnny Peralta, he was 20 years old. The Indians brought him up as a 20-year-old because of, I think Vizquel was hurt at some point in time where mm-hmm. they absolutely need him. There's no injuries or anything like that, I don't think I wouldn't expect him to be an everyday player until 2015. But, he's a special player, though.
Right. Yeah, I've been on board. That's where I've been, too, 2015. Last summer when he was playing at Lake County, I went to the Midwest League All-Star Game. And for anyone who has a chance, a minor league All-Star Game is a great time, and it's a great opportunity. You can actually get really close to the players, and they're all so excited to be there that they're pretty outgoing and friendly. So I had a chance to talk to Lindor, and I remember saying to him, I'll see you in Cleveland in 2015. And he smiled at me, and he said, oh, I hope to be there sooner than that. And, I sort of laughed, and, but now I'm starting to wonder, not opening day next year or anything like that, but I start to feel like maybe if Cabrera is gone, because you're right, if Cabrera is here, he's the shortstop. But if they do move Cabrera, I kind of wonder if bringing him up to double A now isn't partially about seeing if he might be ready for 12 months from now, midseason, after like the Super 2 and that stuff has passed. I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's fun to have a prospect who's, who's highly touted and continues to be highly touted. I mean, he's really progressed as well as you could hope for. And, you know, for any team, but I think especially a team like the Indians that, you know, you're never going to be signing a guy to $150 million contract. You know, a prospect like him is especially exciting. So, yeah, like you said, I look forward to following him closely.
Yeah, that's kind of like why kind of I was really on board with the Clint Frazier pick, because he's a high school kid. He might bust out, but those players are the ones that tend to turn into the superstars. And for, you know, a mid-market team or like the Indians are, that's about the only way you're going to get a superstar. Or unless you get really lucky and trade Casey Blake for Carlos Santana.
All right. One last question, then, looking at the second half. If you could pick one player on the Indians to have a big, big second half, who would you pick?
That's a good question. Well, I mean, Kipnis has kind of already had his big second. I mean, so I guess I won't cheat by saying this, but I guess I'll go back to Asdrubal Cabrera. He was because it seemed like the first half I think he had that quad injury most of the first half.
Right.
And then he finally, you know, injured it, you know, seriously. He had to miss a big chunk of time, although he came back a lot quicker than anyone expected. You know, and then he had kind of like the post-injury kind of slump that you would expect. He didn't go on a rehab or assignment or anything. But of late, he started to hit the ball better. And if the Indians don't trade him, you wonder if that will be kind of a relief to him, because I'm sure he knows about all the rumors and stuff. And
sure.
I think he'll be a big contributor.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I think you're right. That he would be, you know, it'd be great to see everyone on the team have a good second half. But, yeah, good choice. All right, well, we're well past half an hour already, so I guess we should start winding this up. Thanks for joining me again.
No problem.
And we'll talk again, I expect, once more before the season ends.
I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ryan.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's that. So, again, the Indians are off Thursday, which is when this will probably go up. Then get back to action Friday night in Minnesota, 3 games with the Twins, and then the road trip continues in Seattle for 3 more games. So it'll be a week from Friday before they're back home at Progressive, taking on the Rangers and then the White Sox. And it's during that White Sox series that the trade deadline will hit. So, you know, these next couple of weeks, hopefully the Indians continue to play as well as they did the last couple series before the break. And, overtake the Tigers. Let's Talk Tribe will be taking a 2-week break, which I know trade deadline's a bad time for that, but I'm on my way to Tanzania next week to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, hopefully. And then, just like R.A. Dickey, I will come back and win the Cy Young Award. But when I get back, I'll get someone on the phone to catch me up on the last couple weeks of action, and we will talk Tribe again. Thanks a lot.
Motorways are becoming smarter to help traffic flow smoother. When traffic conditions are good, the national speed limit will apply. But when traffic becomes heavy, the speed limit can be reduced.
So, if you see a lower speed limit, slow down and stay within it.
By following speed limits, we'll all be doing our bit to keep the traffic flowing. Highways England, making motorways smarter. For more information, search for Smart Motorways online.